Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're keeping on keeping on with Hawkeye by Matt Fraction and a new artist for this little two-issue series, Javier Pulido. Let's go. Yeah, I was surprised whenever I looked at this. I started reading, and I was like, this art is just a little different. Like that, I think is it being colored by? Yeah, Matt Hollingsworth is still coloring. Yeah. So there's some cohesion there.
Yeah, but it has a certain like archy vibe to it.
Right. Yeah. I can see that. It's definitely different. I do prefer. What is it, David Aja? Aja. I like his style a little bit more, especially for this. And he does come back after these two issues, mm-hmm. but these two issues are quite enjoyable.
Yeah.
I enjoyed them a lot, and I think, I don't know, I'd be curious to see if I could see this flavor showing up in the Disney Plus series.
Yeah.
Seems like it'd be a cool little, take a couple episodes to riff off of this. But we'll get into the comic book in a minute. What have you been up to, man? How's life and things?
It's all right. Haven't done a lot of comic reading. In case this is the what you've been reading yo segment, or just the what you've been up to yo segment.
Just the what you've been up to yo.
I finished sketching out a percussion ensemble yesterday.
Sweet.
I have been running a lot. I'm at the point where I have to do like 2 5-mile-plus runs a week. Mm-mm. In addition to a shorter one for my half marathon training. And my Garmin app yesterday told me in the past 7 days I've run 20 miles, and wow. I don't think I've covered that distance other than like a long hike or something like that in a week in a very long time. And tomorrow I have to go run 7 miles, so I think it might be even more.
I don't think we can be friends anymore. 7 miles, that's wild. I can't.
Yeah,
I have no shot at doing anything like that.
I just got a package that came in today of goo, spelled G-U. It's just these little energy packets. There's mm-hmm. like 1 ounce, 100 calories, get you some sodium, get you some carbs and stuff like that while you're running. So mm-hmm. I bought that since I'm going to be into longer runs coming up, and I can tuck them into my hydration belt, and about halfway through, I'll just suck one down. There's like mixed berry. There's like strawberry banana. There's coffee. There's chocolate, there's vanilla, and something else.
Have you tried one yet just to find out what you like?
I actually tried one the first time on the 10K I ran back in June. I hit the last aid station, and they had them sitting out there, and I was like, I've never had one of these. I'm going to try it. In retrospect, a bad idea, because you want to try things like that out before you run.
Not during the run.
Sometimes it does not cooperate with people's intestinal tract. It was okay for me, so I ordered those. I'm going to try one out on my run tomorrow. Right. I won't bother for like 3-4 mile runs, because you don't really need something like that until you're out there for an hour or more. Mm-hmm. Probably really 2 hours. But
that's bonkers.
Yesterday I was out for 2 hours on the 6 mile run that turned into a 1 mile run plus 5 mile hike with 800 feet of elevation gain.
That sounds accurate.
I wish I'd had some goo then.
Did you notice it? Did it make a difference when you consumed the goo the first time?
I was like 20 minutes from the finish line. So like they say, whenever you're out like training or on a race or something like that, they say anything you take in the last 30 minutes is just recovery, because it's not going to be through your system in time. So,
right.
I mean, I felt good afterwards, so it was probably fine. But yeah, I always try to think about that. Like if I'm out for an hour long run, I try to ingest any sort of extra calories before the 30-minute mark.
Right. You know. Next time on the Two Man Running podcast, we will talk about running.
Yeah. What about you? What have you been up to, yo?
I've been doing a little bit more coding. I don't know if... Does everybody on this podcast know that I've been learning to code? Have I talked about that?
I feel like you've mentioned it.
Maybe mention it. I'm learning how to code, if you didn't know that. Did some more. I'm about halfway through the certificate.
Are you learning how to Mountain Dew Code Red?
No, I think that's the next chapter.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to put that on a resume. Different languages I know. Code Red, Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Right next to JavaScript. Mm-hmm. in Python. Yeah, doing some more coding. I have been reading a lot of comic books. I also have been like just wrapping up projects. Some of them you've been in on. Actually, most of them you've been in on, both the video project and the arranging project. So
La Musica.
Been good to knock those out and feel like I have a little more room because I wasn't able to code. And I am paying to get like these coding lesson training courses. So you feel bad when you miss like a week and a half and you essentially just threw $75 down the drain.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the lake or Lake Fort Smith this weekend to see some of Katie's family.
That's where the Ozark Highlands Trail starts.
Ah. Mostly I will just be there watching the game. The Hogs are playing number two Georgia. Whoopig Suey.
Did
Gogs.
You get like Gogs. One of those lodges or something that you're all...
They always get one of those and
nice.
Like everybody's kind of chips in. We're just going down for the day, Katie and I. But I think some of them are going... Actually, I think some of them last night was the first night they stayed there and they'll stay through Sunday. But we're going just for a day trip Saturday. Drew and I are going to go see Venom tonight. Let There Be Carnage. I'm seeing yep. mixed reviews right now on Rotten. It's day one of release. I guess last night technically was when you could go see it at the earliest. But after a day, it's been like 86-ish percent on Rotten Tomatoes for the audience score and more like 55 for the critics. So who knows? A buddy of mine, Arturo, who I tend to line pretty more or less right on with him, his movie reviews. He was like begging people like, Don't go see the movie. So that doesn't give me a bunch of hope.
That's what you like to hear the day you're going to go watch it.
Right, when you've already paid for the tickets. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure it'll be fine. At this point, it's just like a completionist thing.
Yeah.
If it's some way pseudo-tied to the MCU, which I think this one's going to maybe be even more so after tonight, then I'm going to watch it. We'll see what happens, though.
Speaking of the MCU.
Uh-huh.
And possible tie-ins.
Yeah.
What if?
Holy crap, yeah.
The episode that was a couple nights ago, this was the What If Ultron Had Won
yeah.
episode, which was the first time we had an end credit scene from the week before
right.
when Ultron popped up, kind of at the
it
end
bled
of the...
Into
if Thor was a teeny bopper,
right.
whatever, and we're just like, whoa, okay, that was an all right episode until the ending, and this time we got a full... episode of it, like multiverse breaking, like
yeah
we had the Doctor Strange from earlier in the season who had like
four.
Become dark
yeah
and man
yeah like suddenly there's way more context and continuity after one episode just yeah. like oh I see where they're going now
just like did we just see the big bad of the next MCU big bad
right
who
wow knows?
That'd be crazy
yeah. But it does look like they're, I mean, we don't know for sure, but signs point to them making a what-if multiversal Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
If they bring in Captain Carter, Doctor Strange, Star-Lord, T'Challa. I guess they can still keep, you know, Thor and Captain Marvel mm-hmm. as they've been kind of consistent through there. But
yeah.
Lots of cool things going on. That episode was easily the best one so far.
Yeah.
I still love 4, the Doctor Strange one. Yeah. It was great, even if tragic, but... Man, it tied a lot of things together. And in 30 minutes, too, it was great. Speaking of tying stories together really quickly, if you haven't checked out Star Wars Visions yet on Disney mm-hmm. Plus, you are mm-hmm. missing out. They are super cool.
Have you finished them yet?
I have all but one.
Okay. I've still only seen the first two.
Yeah. I would say the first or the second one is my least favorite.
Yeah. It was just, it was like a lighthearted thing.
Yeah.
It was an interesting take.
Yeah.
And I could
I didn't dislike
see kids
it.
Liking it.
Yeah.
But,
I didn't dislike it, but it's the Thor Dark World of Star Wars Visions.
I liked Thor Dark
Maybe
World.
Maybe that's a little
too.
Aggressive. So, but most of them are super cool. So if you don't know what that is, Star Wars Visions is Lucasfilm gave all the Star Wars toys to these 7 anime studios and said, do whatever you want. It doesn't have to be a canon story. You don't have to talk about Luke Skywalker or any Skywalker or no Darth Vader. Just like make a cool story doing what your studio does best, like play to your own strengths. And there are some really cool, very concise stories. They're all like, the longest one is 22 minutes long. I know that. Most of them are in that 13 to 14 minute long stories. And almost all of them like, get going, they hit the ground running, and they it's like reading a very good standalone comic book. It just works. Mm-hmm. Like it's a little one shot. But I absolutely love them. I think number one is going to win an Emmy. I really do. I think it's that good. Like artistically, it's so cool. The style of it's really cool. It's yeah. rich. It's fresh. Star Wars Visions is awesome. And it's also like really easy to go down. Like they're so yeah. short. Like you have, if you're going to watch TV, you have time for watching two or three of them, you know, and you'll still have not even hit an hour. So super cool. And technically, Star Wars is owned by Marvel, or the comics are by Marvel, and mm-hmm. it's all under the Disney. So it's kind of Marvel University.
Yeah.
So
I mean, we've talked about Star Wars enough. I think it's totally worth
yeah.
keeping people apprised yeah, of our thoughts. It's in the universe
somewhere. It's in the multiverse. Mm-hmm.
I keep wondering since, like, I don't know that they would do this, but mm-hmm. I, at one point, whenever they were, in the last What If episode, when the, Ultron and Uatu, that's his name, right?
Yeah.
Were fighting through different universes. Different
multiverse, yeah.
There was one of them that kind of looked like one of the Star Wars, Clone Wars,
somebody mentioned worlds. That online. Somewhere.
And I was just like, it just enough that made me think that'd be funny if, since Disney owns all this,
right?
If at some point we popped into a Sleeping Beauty universe mm-hmm. and then a Star Wars universe right. and all these things, just as like a tip of the hat, kind of like in just
acknowledgement of a true multiverse
yeah, in the Star Trek, I think it was Star Trek First Contact movie. Mm-hmm. There's a scene where they're all fighting this Borg cube. Right. I think it was First Contact. If it wasn't First Contact, it was one of the TV shows. And there's this one scene that I've seen a couple different times pop up where one of these ships is kind of, you see it mm-hmm. really, really fuzzy in the background.
Right.
And lore says that it is the Millennium Falcon because they happen to have access to one of those props.
Right.
Whenever they were doing this. And it's so small in the back. It might not be because, you know, right. from the top, the Millennium Falcon is very circular, oh, just yeah. like all Starfleet ships, but it kind of goes points at the front.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, a bunch of different Starfleet ships ended up having more of an oval type shape. Right. So it makes a lot more sense for it to be like a prop from Voyager mm-hmm. or the Prometheus back
but
there.
But those things are fun to like.
Yeah, it's fun to think.
Speculate.
Just for just a second. What if, you know? Just like. Millennium Falcon hopped over, you know,
right.
and Star Trek and Star Wars are in the same universe, which I wouldn't buy for a second. Like mm-hmm. that doesn't make sense to me, but it's fun well, just for it reminds the nerd me, aspect.
This is what I'm about to say is minor spoilers for the most recent run of Donny Cates' Thor, just minor. It's insignificant, but it's very cool. Essentially, like the big bad of that series. To give weight to just how serious they are, I think the first couple issues, maybe in the second issue, I think this is what it was, the big bad wipes out what is a very strongly implied DC universe. Mm. The art is so cool. All you see is very obvious winks at the colors flashing by mm. so quickly, mm-hmm. but it's so obvious in that like the references and the text are very like, you know, a man of the night, a hero for hope, and mm-hmm. all these sorts of things like that. And like Donny Cates himself is like, yeah, yes, that's what that was. Like he basically in his Thor comic killed the DC universe. Obviously DC's still around, but just as kind of like a,
yeah.
here's the weight of this villain. I'll have to pull that up and show you guys sometime. Maybe we'll cover that run. That's more modern than some of the stuff we cover, but it is cool just to see like, yes, those are still comic books, but like the last time this been like a serious DC Marvel crossover, mm-hmm. it's been a long time ago, which they have done, but yeah, just properties hanging out in the realm of other properties. Pretty cool. All that to say, what have you been reading, yo?
basically Hawkeye 4, 5 mm-hmm. and 6. Rereading today I read comics mm-hmm. and since our last recording session I have read no comics. I'm a naughty boy. I don't even think I've watched any other than like What If and
yeah.
some stuff. I've basically been watching The Big Bang Theory, mm-hmm. which I did have a comic book observation.
Yeah.
I never noticed it until now, but because I've been watching them back to back. They've talked about Thor mm-hmm. and Thing and I think Spider-Man at some point. But in terms of on-screen representation of comic books, 100% DC.
Interesting.
And I'm thinking it's probably the owner's deal. Like every time they go to Stewart's comic book shop,
mm-hmm.
they'll be holding a comic book and talk about it being Thor or whatever.
Right.
But they're sitting at little aisle, you know, kiosks or whatever you call them, that are every single title that is visible from the front and the back is DC Comics.
Interesting.
All the stuff that's on the walls is DC Comics. Actually, no, it wasn't 100%. There was a Hellboy statue.
Oh, okay.
But other than that,
who owns what studio?
It would be
that?
CBS. I think that's probably Paramount. So but because they also have a lot of Star Trek references, and Star Trek's definitely okay. Paramount.
Yeah.
It's not. I'm not positive, but right. it was originally on CBS, I think, mm-hmm. Which makes sense. CBS, but CBS. And
I don't think
Warner,
that's two different things.
I don't know, so, but there's got to be something.
Interesting.
Maybe it was just easier for them to be like, hey, we want to use these DC properties.
Right.
And they said okay, and Marvel didn't.
It's possible.
I don't know, because maybe at that point was Marvel.
Trying to get the House of Mouse. Oh, I'm sure. I mean, 2008.
Was it
Iron Man
under the DC DC property at that point yet?
You because mean Disney?
Disney, yeah, sorry, Disney, because Disney was ABC for a long time. Mm-hmm. They were all one big happy family, and this was CBS. Maybe, I don't know. But yeah, I just noticed that the other day. I was like, every time they go into Stewart's comic book shop, I'm like looking around,
right.
trying to see anything that is actually Marvel. I mean, they talk about Thor's hammer. They
right.
talk about all this stuff
at
length.
Have it on display.
But yeah, the only comic books you ever see laying out or the only figurines other than that one Hellboy that mm-hmm. I saw are like DC.
Interesting.
And I may have missed something because I'm like watching the show. I'm not literally pausing and freeze framing.
Pixel peeping, yeah.
But so, I mean, I haven't read comics, but I've been aware of comics.
But I'm aware of comics. Yes. I haven't read any. That's funny.
What about you, Alex? What you been reading, yo?
I have been reading a lot of comics. So I'm like 10 months behind on X-Men now, which is better than last time when I was a year.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Yeah, which 10 months of, or 2 months rather, of X-Men comics is a lot of X-books. Mm-hmm. Getting much closer, but I hit something that is absolutely going to set me back is because I was reading comic book heralds, or looking at the comic book heralds reading order, and one of the comics that they like strongly recommend to read before you read the next one that's on the list is Avengers number 37.
Yeah.
Of the most recent Avengers run. So yeah. It's happening. The thing that happens where I don't want to get spoiled on this.
We wanted to come up with a name for it whenever I was reading Superman and I had to go back and read Superman, Batman. I had to go back and read Supergirl.
Yes.
The rabbit hole. I don't think we ever came up with a better name.
No. So I'm on issue 10 of the Jason Aaron Avengers mm-hmm. run, which is very cool. I like it a lot, and it's the reason I didn't want to just hop in and potentially get spoiled for 36 issues of comics. So I'm trying to knock that out. I'm being pretty aggressive, trying to read like 5 or 6 of those a night. But I will say it's really cool. One thing I wanted to bring up, like he has brought in or introduced the very first team up that is kind of representing like the first true Avengers team, not like 60s Avengers where it's like Cap and the big three that we know. Although that is kind of a theme in Jason Aaron's most recent run, like Thor, Iron Man, and Cap are on the thing. But we're following some flashbacks of a super cool, it's not even, I guess it's canon now if Jason Aaron is doing it on the Avengers run, but it's basically he's saying the first Avengers run, like on 4 billion BC or whatever the time is Odin, a Jean Grey-esque Phoenix, Iron Fist, like the original Iron Fist from Kunlun, Ghost Rider, which is also in the recent one, but like Ghost Rider is really cool. So it's like that spirit of Ghost Rider. All these are like, they're all magical things. So, or most of them are. So it's like the original essence or wherever they rooted from. So Ghost Rider, who's riding on the back of a mammoth, which is really cool. And then this one's one of my favorite ones. Oh, sorry. The first Black Panther. They just call him Panther. This one's really cool, though. There's like this Hulk-esque thing. It looks like the Hulk, but it's more caveman-esque, but it's Star Brand. Mm. So the Star Brand from space came and got into this Hulk-esque thing. So it's like this hyper powerful thing. And then there's the original Sorcerer. Oh, it's a Agamotto, like from the Eye of Agamotto, like the OG Sorcerer Supreme. So that's like this ancient Avengers team, and we're kind of doing flashbacks because something they did dealing with celestial beings is affecting the current Avengers, which has a similar team up minus the Star Brand. Super cool though. Really cool run. Maybe we'll cover something like that. I don't know. Maybe we'll cover all comics on Two Man Comic Book Club one day. There's my disclaimer.
Join our Patreon, and we will. We still haven't released the Patreon.
Yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah, lots of X-Men, lots of Avengers, some Hawkeye. And then also I've been like, Drew and I just got new phones. Yee! And on the Marvel Unlimited app, they have new Infinity comics.
I don't even think, I forgot about that. I don't know that I have Marvel Unlimited actually downloaded this.
It's worth it now.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of them. For those of you who don't know, Marvel Unlimited just rebooted their app. Yeah. It's still buggy. A lot of people are mad about it. They're going to fix it. It's not like they did it on purpose.
But
like,
the Infinite Scroll comics are made for smartphones.
Right. Like the form factor is made for scrolling vertically. They're super digestible. And it's way better than doom scrolling on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather read a comic book. And they're in that Webtoon kind of format. They're super cool.
How many are out at this point? Because
there's several.
That week that it came out, I read like all but one of them that were out. And I was like, I will stay on top of these.
Yeah.
And then
it's still doable.
I haven't read any since.
You can catch up. They're doing like several a week are coming out. Like they're ongoing things.
Some of them are. It's funny. Whenever I first heard about that, it made me think because DC Universe Infinite has their digital exclusives, but they're just like normal comics.
Right.
So whenever they release their Infinity comics, I was just like, there's that word again. But unless DC has some Infinite Scroll ones that I just haven't seen, like, that's, they're not even, it's just totally different. It's just like, the DC ones are just, read them exclusively digitally.
Sure, yeah.
But
they're
these
not
are like
formatted for mobile.
For
DC does have like a Webtoon. I don't know exactly what umbrella. I mean, I guess DC, if it's DC characters, but they have like a Batman and Family Adventures. And there's like six or seven of those out. And you can get them on that like official webcomics Webtoon app.
Okay.
And I read all of them. They're fun. They're completely different than the Marvel offerings, though. Like they're not, like Marvel's trying to tell serious comic stories in this format, like a vertical scrolling. I mean, they have a slightly different hue to them than traditional comics, but they're still like, here's a story and a plot. The Batman ones that I read, while fun, were just like one-off little, much more Webtoon flavored. Like one of them, for instance, they get through with a battle. All of them come in to sit down to enjoy some of Alfred's cookies that he's baking, and then there's one cookie left. So it's just which of these Bat family members can end up with the cookie.
It's like,
you know,
Teen Titans Go type of.
Yeah. It's super lightweight, super short, just a little wink and a peek into the life of them. But yeah, that's what I've been reading. Probably going to read some more this weekend. Need to catch up on the X books.
Yeah.
Hickman's almost done with his X run.
Oh, see, so. I had been a good boy, good little productivity boy with my five essential tasks. I don't know if we talked about it on the show, but like just like putting out five things I have to get done every day. And I failed. I got up to like 19 days and then I broke my streak. And instead of starting over for like the past 2 weeks, I just haven't made any goals.
Yeah.
But there for a while, it was like read two comics every day just to do it, you know? Yeah. And I haven't read a comic other than Hawkeye in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I started my essential tasks again today because I realized I also had made it 2 weeks without practicing for my jazz piano lessons. Uh-huh. So like your coding, you know, I'm like, I need to put the time in.
You
gotta
do it.
Going to read comics every day, going to practice piano every day.
Yeah, I coded for like 4 hours yesterday and got to a lesson where they're like showing you how to make like cubes. And I decided to stop then because I was listening and I was like, I don't, they might as well be speaking Mandarin right now. I don't know what they're saying. My brain's fried. I feel like I will understand it once I go back to it, but I was like, at hour four, you know, your brain can only take so much new information in a day.
Speaking of Mandarin, do you know if / when Shang-Chi will make it to Disney Plus, or is that
they announced that in November 12th is the number coming to my head. Okay, it's sometime in November.
Because I was thinking, me and Holly never made it to the theaters to watch it, so she'll probably be okay just watching it on
TV. Did I not watch that with you? Or are you saying like exclusively you and Holly?
Me and Holly. Okay, like, together, like she didn't it. Get to go.
Right. Okay. I was like, I thought we watched that together.
No, we totally did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still out. I mean, if you guys find yourselves like, let's go watch Shang-Chi, which we watched it a second time. Yeah. Second, third. I don't know how many times I watched it. More and more stuff. Well, we took up a whole bunch of time for the first section of this, so we're going to take a quick break and then we'll jump into Hawkeye. We'll be right back. All right, we're going to jump right into Hawkeye. Like I said, this is still Matt Fraction writing, but Javier Pulido does the art for issues 4 and 5, which are the ones we are covering today, and where we're stopping in this, and we'll tell you why afterwards. There are like 15 or 16 extra issues after this, and really we just can't cover them all, but we'll talk about more of that in a minute. Anyway, Matt Fraction writing, Javier Pulido does the art. Matt Hollingsworth is still coloring those, so we get a nice kind of continuity, at least from there, from an art perspective. Chris Eliopoulos is doing the letters still. And David Aja is doing the cover for this one. So maybe he did this before. I mean, they all are in that style.
Yeah, it seems like, I feel like he probably did all the covers, though I'm not positive, because they all kind of have that same brand.
And they're minimalist enough to kind of like, maybe it didn't take him forever, like to, once he got flowing, to knock them out. Although that's just me speculating. What do I know? Nothing. Nothing is what I know.
You know at least something.
Yeah. Did you look at these little winks again, like what they added, like Senna, Amanat, Madripoor, Stephen Wecker, Mandra Rich?
I know. I meant to look at that and I forgot. That's funny.
I don't know why those two are always the ones that get the fun little winks.
What do they actually do? Are they editors? Or maybe. Is it just like, hey, we these people won this contest, so we're going to put their name in every single issue?
Yeah, I don't know what they... I'm editors would make sense because I don't see an editor anywhere else, the editor-in-chief, but I doubt he probably like needs stuff run across his desk. So anyway, there's two of these. We'll cover them with some detail. But
for what it's worth, it is the tape number one and the tape number two. Like it is a
this is a two-issue arc.
Unit. Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, as I pick hair off of my mic from my cat so I don't eat it, this is a really cool little two-issue short arc that absolutely could show up in the Hawkeye series. Like, I feel like this would translate very well to television.
Yeah.
Like, it just makes sense, and it's a really cool idea. I also appreciate that I was verified that it was Madam Mask that was at that
party. Yeah.
I was like, I think that's Madam Mask. Couldn't remember.
I remember that she popped up somewhere, and I couldn't remember exactly. A lot of the guys that were at that party... guys, a lot of the villains we're going to see again.
Yeah, right, they show up. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we'll go through this. We'll give you kind of a bird's eye view, and then we'll kind of dip in for some more detail when it's relevant. So the very first splash page of this, showing the title of the tape, as Drew mentioned, we get this pretty gnarly one shot of Hawkeye on his knee. He just fired two arrows into this dude's eyeballs, and there are two women standing in front of him, appear to be covered and wearing only the smallest amount of cloth.
Yeah.
It looks like toilet paper.
It really does.
Anyway.
Maybe they were cosplaying as mummies.
Yeah. And this guy was undressing the mummy wrappings. Anyway, it doesn't show anything risque. Well, I guess there's two arrows in that guy's eye, so that's pretty intense. Yeah. But anyway, it shows Hawkeye killing somebody. Mm-hmm. And then the very first little bit of text at the bottom says, "You ever kill anybody, Clint?" And we go to the next page, and Clint and Kate are on the rooftop drinking a beer, hanging out, and she's on her phone like, or no, is it a beer or a phone?
I'm pretty sure she's scrolling through a phone.
Okay, it looks like the top of a beer right there. Anyway.
Oh, it's a beer. because I scrolled forward to look.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's at least a can of something.
Right.
Could be a Coca-Cola.
Yeah, it could be. Anyway, so she's basically just asking him, like, have you ever killed anybody? And he's like, what? No. What's wrong with you? Why would you even ask me that? And then, you know, what's the guy's name? That's like, no, he never killed anybody. The Avengers don't let you in if you kill people.
And I do want to butt in real quick.
Yeah.
He doesn't actually say no. He just
that
said,
is important.
Katie, what's the matter with you? So
yeah, he never does say no. So he didn't lie.
But Grills, the guy who's yelling from right. the grill,
yeah.
answers for him saying, no, he's Avenger. Avengers don't kill people.
Right. And then he's like, I'm not an Avenger. I'm a nobody. And basically he looks up at that point and there's shadows going over mm-hmm. the top of this rooftop. And it's a helicarrier over the top of him after he didn't.
Got to get me one of those.
Oh, I know. That would be a really sweet whip. A sweet studio for recording these
yeah,
podcasts.
I mean, we would have to be in the very center because there's so many propellers.
It
would
oh, yeah.
be very loud.
I would like to think that if they figured that out, the sound
they figured
engineering
out yeah.
would probably also be pretty sweet and isolated. Mm-hmm. Anyway, these S.H.I.E.L.D. agents swoop down mm-hmm. and pick mm-hmm. up Hawkeye. And or sorry, there's two Hawkeyes here. So they pick up Clint mm-hmm. and pull him up into this helicarrier. And Grill's like, see, Avenger, you know, because like obviously that stuff doesn't happen to regular people. But yeah. they leave Kate behind, and we don't really know what's going on. So we fast forward, we're in the helicarrier, and Clint is sitting at a table with Maria Hill and Captain America. And long story short, they're breaking it down. They're like, Clint, the videotape got out. Mm-hmm. The tape got out. The videotape that was a record of Operation Eucrita. Is that how you would pronounce that?
Eucretia?
Eucretia? Eucrita? I don't know. It's not really important. It's just called Eucrita.
Oh, there's not a T-I-A. Sorry.
Yeah. E-U-C-R-I-T-T-A. I would say Eucrita.
Maybe Eucrita.
Eucrita. Yeah. They're saying this tape got out, and if you remember the art in the beginning of him putting the arrows in two guys was kind of like an old videotape style-esque art. So Clint's like, how did this happen? I was told that this couldn't happen. Actually, you guys promised that this wouldn't happen. She's like, yeah, that's on us. Right now, your safety is priority. And he's like, how many are there? How many got out? And Captain America stops. He's like, listen, this is a thing where it's not digital. This is an analog copy, like a VHS tape. So, you know, we know what we're looking for. It's not as easy to, or not as hard to track down, rather. But make no mistake, this is very bad. We have, you know, 72 hours before this tape goes up on an auction in Madripoor, where the who's who of all these villains with their nine-figure bank accounts and Amex
That's
black
the
cards.
First time I've ever heard the term nine-figure bank account. And I had to
oh,
stop.
You don't have one of those?
No. I mean, there's at least nine figures in yeah. mine, like at least $9.
Right.
But no, I was just like, you normally hear six-figure, maybe seven-figure.
Right.
But they just blew past eight. Straight to nine.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm just like, I don't think in numbers that high.
That's a silly number. I've never yeah. seen that many commas
yeah.
With a dollar amount no. than anybody I know's bank account. Anyway, so they're like, this tape, we've got intel saying it's going up for auction, and the contents are super sensitive. It says, if this tape gets out and it's bad for you, it's bad for S.H.I.E.L.D., it's bad for the Avengers, the military, and it is personally very bad for the President of the United States. So there's the premise right there. This tape's out, and it's condemning for Hawkeye because it shows him killing somebody. So he goes back home, and Kate's sitting in there in the dark, like asking what's going on. And he like grabs his bow, and he's like, "I gotta go. You can't be around me. You can't come with me and help me do this thing. This is something personal and private, or whatever." And she's just like not really understanding what's going on, but she kind of like half jokingly says, "Can I have your stuff when you're dead?" And he's like, no, you're rich, buy your own stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, she leaves, or he leaves, and he goes to Madripoor. And
have we seen Madripoor in the MCU yet? I feel like we
yes.
have. Where did we see it?
In Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Where, yeah, okay, got it.
Yeah, they go to Madripoor, which Madripoor is famously in the comics a very mutant Wolverines in Madripoor a lot doing
oh, okay.
stuff. I think actually in the Wolverine movie, he's in Madripoor, I think, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or at least goes there. I can't remember. Anyway, he's going. He has a American Express black card from S.H.I.E.L.D. and his job is, we find out, is buy the movie back. Like, figure out how to get into that auction. Don't let people know who you are. Get the film or get the tape back, because if it gets to the wrong hands, we're boned. There's this nice little scene where he's like landing in the airport and these soldiers, militia, come up and like drag him into a room, and he's like talking about how he didn't want to get noticed. He at least wanted to get out of the airport, and he was like, they keep it professional, they keep it clean. They take me far enough away that nobody will hear any screams or yells or shouts, no matter how harsh the punishment. And the door closes, and you just see this bubble that says good. And then it's kind of waits and is zooming in on the door, and then Clint walks out unscathed. Mm-hmm. We assume that he just beat the crap out of everybody who was in there. So he gets in, he gets in his taxi, and he falls asleep in the taxi on his way there, and somebody steals his wallet.
It's actually the driver.
The driver tried to steal his wallet. And he like beats up the guy in the car, but then somebody else reaches into the window and steals his wallet.
I was trying to just imagine what it would actually be like. Like, this makes me think that if Madripoor actually existed, I would never, ever in a million years try to go there. He's getting assaulted by like five different people at once in the back of a moving taxi cab trying to steal his wallet.
Yeah, and we don't see that it's anybody street criminals. Like, they're just reaching into a taxi of a sleeping American and ripping out his wallet, mm-hmm. which pretty intense. He beats up the two or three guys that are trying to do it and leaves them in the car, but somebody does get away with his wallet. Mm-hmm. So anyway, there's kind of some funny stuff. He's like decides to take the taxi cab and drive and make a few bucks and just try to, he doesn't have
figure
his wallet.
Figure
out where he's going, get the lowdown on where the people are at. He still has, he notes that he does still have the American Express black card. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that.
His passport.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. But he ends up at the Madripoor Pearl, which is this luxury hotel / casino. It looks straight out of Vegas. And he goes in there and immediately sticks out like a sore thumb, because it's like this black tie event and he's in this like shoddy brown suit.
Yeah.
So they're driving him around, making him, or not driving around, they're just pulling him around blindfolded. And he's kind of noting like, okay, we took a left, two rights. And he has that ability to be, I know where I'm at, even though they've taken away my sight. So he goes in, he's being interrogated. He gets decked in the face as soon as he starts kind of being cute, Spider-Man-esque. And Madame Mask shows up and has his passport and starts saying like, you know, we're here after the same thing that you are. Like, we realize what you're coming after and we're not going to let you get this. So they acknowledge that they know he's there to try to buy it. They take him and throw him in this hotel room, but not before Madame Mask gets him alone and is like trying to figure out how he was planning on buying this. And she finds out quickly that he has this American Express black card from S.H.I.E.L.D. And she's like, tell me where it is. And he's like, I hid it. She's like, where? And it just shows him and he like smiles at her. It's like this front on. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw this panel right here. You just see this little sneaky grin. And she goes, you must be joking. And he says, look, I'm not exactly thrilled either, but none of your guys bothered to check, whereas I have no wallet or passport. And long story short, Madame Mask reaches into a quiet place and retrieves the card that he had smuggled into the States. And there's some pretty hilarious panels, one resulting in her taking the car with her fingertips and telling her goons to get it sanitized.
She is wearing gloves at the time.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Pretty funny. It doesn't actually show anything. It's just implications are implied everywhere. So they go and they put him in this room. And
I think it's hilarious because he's like, hey, you're dragging me around. Are you going to give me some water, a sandwich or something? And then like the very next panel, he's asleep.
Yeah.
And then all these like blacked out ninjas just like start descending. I was just like, my goodness. I like to imagine it literally happened. He yelled, he instantly passed out, and then blink once, you know.
And then ninjas crawl out of the ceiling. Yeah. It was a very quick sequence of events. It's also, this was one thing that I was like, why would she put him in there and then have ninjas go after him? Unless those ninjas are not with Madame Mask.
Yeah, that's my guess.
I'm not sure. Maybe it's just everybody knows Hawkeye's in town and they're trying to take him out. But anyway, the last thing we see is him tied to a chair on top of a bed in his suit still, and the ninjas are descending into the room. And then we switch to the next panel and we're at the auction. And the just like Drew said, we see all the people that were at that dance, not dance, the gala, whatever the event was.
Yeah.
Kingpin, Madame Mask. Again, I don't know. Oh, I think Madame Hydra, who
She was on in
Captain
Black Widow. Well, I was gonna say the Black Widow that we read.
Right. Also. Right, she was in that too. So I think she's one of the interested buyers. Mm-hmm. So everybody's sitting around. They're very aware of what is on the, or not what is on the tape, but the significance of the tape. And it quickly gets into, like, the starting bid is 100 million euros. Mm-hmm. And they're going through it. It's quickly getting into 200. And suddenly, Madame Mask says 1 billion because she has that card with an unlimited, or there's no limit to the card. So,
yeah.
She wins the tape, and everybody's ticked off about it. Kingpin, like, storms off, you know, because he thought for sure he was going to get it. And they give it to her, and she's like, basically, I'm going to my room. If anybody comes or if any of the alarms trip on the doors or the window, just assume somebody's here trying to steal all this money that I spent for this. She says, if I need anything, I'll just scream. And then she goes to her room and takes off her mask, and it's Kate Bishop. Mm. So
I did not see that coming.
Yeah. Didn't see it coming either. We pan out, and she has the actual Madame Mask stripped down to her underwear, mm-hmm. wearing the mask still, but she's tied up. So Kate beat Clint to Madripoor. Mm-hmm. Somehow figured, I mean, she's just a better Hawkeye. She figured it out and got there, was pretending to be Madame Mask, and she goes, she's sitting there holding the tape at the edge of this bed with all this like fake costume stuff, and she's like, Clint Barton, what kind of hell have you gotten us into? Mm-hmm. And the issue ends.
Yep.
And we're like, oh, snap. Like, the twist at the end was not, I didn't see it coming. Like, it is some kind of like a, I don't know if it's obvious looking back, but like, oh, that's a cool twist. Like, yeah, for sure, Kate Bishop is not just going to, you know, sit there and twiddle her thumbs when she found out that Clint was actually in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, especially with the implied love interest stuff that we've seen so far. What did you think of that one?
It was interesting. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I dug it. I mean, it's hard for me to just separate from the next part of the story, but it was good. I mean, like we kind of said before, I do appreciate the art from the other guy a little bit more, but this works, mm-hmm. you know,
and right.
It has a certain kind of aloofness to it that makes me, I don't know, just, it kind of works for how out of place Clint seems in all of this. But
yeah. So I'm panning through just to make sure I remember this. This is a cool issue too. Like, there's lots of just cool stuff. So Drew, why don't you start us off on this one just to kind of transition into it?
We get back to our old familiar starting roots and be like, oh, this looks bad.
Yeah.
You know, because what we see is we're picking up directly from the ninja thing. Mm-hmm. And Clint is still tied, taped or whatever, to that chair and he's been thrown out of the window.
Right.
And he's falling and he's just like, oh no. And it's flashback a couple seconds ago. And he apparently wakes up while these ninjas are fighting and he's like hopping around, jumps himself off the bed. And we find out he's the one who threw himself out of the window. And then we jump over to see Kate watching this video, and she's like, oh, this looks bad, Clint. And she's like, oh, Clint killed Du Kaifeng.
Yeah,
I don't know who that is.
Du Kaifeng.
And you know, she's like, the news said it was the Navy SEALs, but it was Clint. This means the Avengers, the SHIELD, everybody's lying. And right about that point, she ejects the VHS tape, and somebody knocks on the door. She puts her mask back on. And she's like, I told you not to disturb me. She's like, we heard a crash, and these guys bust in, and it turns out the real Madame Mask had, like, made a loud noise, broke something.
I guess, knew they'd come in and check.
Yeah, I guess she didn't hear Madame Mask do that. And then she's, like, standing, like, whoa, whoa, hey. And behind her in the window, you see Clint falling, falling down.
Yeah. I will say I like when she's watching the tape that she had just as bad a reaction as the Avengers and Cap were saying, like, no, don't. Don't underestimate how bad it is that this tape got out. Like, people are going to be upset when they find out, especially because you're in this. You're an Avenger, and you killed somebody.
Yeah, but he's then we go back outside and he's falling, and Mariah Hill pulls through on some flying sled thing, similar to what we saw Madame Hydra flying on in the Black Widow comic. And she like catches him on this hovering thing, and then the ninjas land, and he's like fighting them off as they're doing this, like doing 180s.
It reminds me of the first Avengers when Black Widow is driving one of those Chitauri jet ski looking things, and Hawkeye's on the back of it fighting and shooting arrows and stuff. Similar type of vibe.
And I guess he fights all of them except for one last ninja who's like holding on.
He just loses his shoe at one point too.
That's when this happens. He's like, give me your hand. And the ninja says never. And as he falls off, he like takes the shoe with him. And then we're back inside. The real Madam Mask has taken over, and Katie's like being held onto by her goons.
Right.
And she's like, I guess reaching out to everybody, because before too long, we have a big meetup of all the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't believe this happened. And they're just about to like beat up on Katie or whatever. And she's like, you jerks mind wrapping this up? My ride's here. Because out the window, there's Hawkeye.
This is a cool panel.
Clint with his bow and arrow. And
he's still on the back of that shield jet ski flying thing.
This makes me think back to some of the first comics of this series, because he draws and he's firing it at the thing, and we get like a breakdown of like infinitesimal times where you see, you know, the arrow and the thing, and then it's a little bit closer, a little bit closer.
And then like the point of contact.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Clint is up there just saying, boom.
Yeah.
And it explodes, and Katie's like, God, that was loud. And Clint, like, he must have jumped in right after he sent it. And then he lands in a pile of glass, and he's like, oh, I forgot my shoe. Ow, ow, foot.
Stepping on broken glass.
And, you know, then we have some really fun onomatopoeia moments, because they're running away. Oh, by the way, I meant to say this. What was I watching? Where did I see that? Venom.
Uh-huh.
Did you notice that at one point when he was inside the science complex, they had some guys in hazmat suits that were shaped exactly like AIM agents?
I didn't.
Yeah, I saw that and I was just like, huh.
Interesting.
And I saw them here and it made me think of that.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah, I didn't catch that.
Katie and Clint are busting out of a door and it says, foo tomp.
Yeah.
It's like foot stomp, I guess. It's real funny looking. And then they're just running and they're about to get away. And it's funny, you can see there's like bloody footmarks from every one of every one of Clint's unshod feet. And he's like, stairs, stairs. And she was like, and then he's saying, the tape, what? And then realize, oh, it's back where I left it. So they have to turn around and run back through all these guys.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, still barefoot. And he kicks the door open with the wrong foot.
Right.
And yelps. And finally they get upstairs.
I like the yelp those. Oh, damn it.
Yeah. And they finally get upstairs and get the tape. And they're like limping off. And it's one of those classic. They get to the elevator, and just as it's closing, Madam Mask comes through and shoots and manages to destroy the tape.
Like, there is the one moment that...
Oh, did I miss one?
Well, you didn't miss it, but Drew mentioned earlier that Clint specifically did not say that he did not kill... that he's never killed somebody. Yeah. And because when they're walking towards that elevator, Kate kind of... She's like, I watched it, Clint. I just went through a lot to get that. And Clint's like, you should have done that. And she's like, you know, you said you never killed anybody. He said, no, I didn't. And she goes, pretty sure you did. He said, no, I didn't, because that'd be lying. Mm-hmm. And I will never lie to you, Kate, ever about anything. Otherwise, what's the point? And then we get a nice little funny moment. The last two panels, he goes, wait. She's like carrying him, like not carrying him, but he's got his arm around the shoulder. And she's supporting him. And he goes, wait. That was you as Madam Mask that dug around in my .. for my credit card. And she goes, there's things I can't unfeel ever too, Clint. Today is sucked 10 ways to Tuesday. Trust me. Yeah. And then back to the elevator.
So she shoots and it apparently goes through the tape and hits Clint as the thing's falling. But of course he must have been wearing Kevlar vest or something. But he's not even complaining about that. He's like, man, 3-piece suit. That was real expensive. And then he kind of blacks out, and he wakes up, and he's surrounded by Nick Fury, Mariah Hill. By the way,
I think it's Maria Hill.
Maria? Yeah. I thought I heard you say Mariah once. So.
Maybe it's possible. I think they say Maria in the MCU.
Maria, Mariah, potato, potato, yeah. Tomato, tomato, yeah. Mantato, mantato. But I wanted to ask you, what is the significance of Nick Fury basically dressed like Captain America here? Is there any significance?
I don't think so. I think it's just they do.
And by the way, it's for those of you listening, it's not like the full red and blue Captain America picture. Red Captain America from the MCU, whenever it was all like navy,
subdued like, navy,
subdued navy dark, and white,
yeah,
gray.
I think it's in the comics they don't draw him as often as the black leather trench coat mm-hmm. Nick Fury. Although you know they did kind of purposely almost cast Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay. Alex, just to confirm, you'd like to call Devo Campbell?
No. No.
Okay. I won't. Alex, who would you like to call?
Stop.
I will not then.
Thank you.
Okay, well, Siri decided she was about to call Debo Campbell. I don't even know. Oh, I haven't talked to that guy in like 10 years. I don't even know I had his contact still. Debo, if you're listening, what's up? Anyway, before my HomePod so rudely interrupted me, they did like typecast him in the Ultimate Universe. That's actually the first time we saw Nick Fury designed this way and not like the, like, because he was white in the original mm-hmm. Season 6 and then he's black in the Ultimate Universe and it just kind of took over. Anyway, yeah, I think it's just they draw him a little more superhero-esque in the comics than they do in the MCU. Anyway.
Then basically they're just talking, and to wrap it up, because we're about to run out of time on this chapter, we learned that it wasn't actually, Clint didn't really kill anybody.
Right.
It was, they doctored the video because...
They made three different versions.
Yeah, they're rebuilding S.H.I.E.L.D. Sorry, something's weird happening with my voice. They're rebuilding S.H.I.E.L.D. from the bottom, from the ground up, and they heard that there was a mole, so they made three different tapes, one with Hawkeye killing somebody, one with Wolverine, and one with Captain America, and made various people aware so that they could trace who the mole was back to by which
right.
tape got out. Mm-hmm. So she was like, yeah, I didn't really do this, but I knew that this was important, so I offered myself up.
Right.
And she was like, but this was all theater? You could have gotten killed. And he was like, well, you know, I just got to do what I got to do.
Yeah, he was like, look, they asked and I said yes. The guys that actually did this, they're doing what they think is right. They didn't sign up to get their families and friends killed in retribution. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't know. I wanted to help. It just seemed like the right thing to do. And Kate goes, you're okay, Barton. And she puts her hand on his and says, anybody ever tell you that? And then the issue ends.
Yep. So... maybe we can discuss this and after we take a short break.
Yep. We'll be right back with our final thoughts and some trivia. All right. Closing thoughts on 4 and 5 as a standalone. What'd you think?
Oh, it was good.
It's not 100% standalone. They definitely reference other things. But
and for the record, we almost covered number 6 also, which would have perfectly worked because it's also just a one-off, just like most of these. But there's a whole lot of time jumps. Mm-hmm. And I was confused reading it, and I couldn't imagine how confused you would have been trying
that
to listen.
That one helps having the art.
Yeah, because I kept like paging back and forth and be like, oh, this was this day. Mm-hmm. This was this day because it's not just chronological. Like it would be like... December 16th, December 14th, December 19th. So we encourage you to check that one out yourself. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. It was an interesting take. It had a lot more stakes to it, I felt like, than the previous ones, which this series, it's like 20 issues or something like that. And it kind of oscillates back and forth between your neighborhood, friendly neighborhood Hawkeye.
Right.
And this was a much bigger deal.
Yeah. It is cool because they... Matt Fraction does take the time to like look into both lives. Like he's an Avenger. He's important enough for S.H.I.E.L.D. to swoop in and pick him up immediately and have a direct meeting with Captain America because of course he is. But he also is like, he's just a dude like who gets beat up and loses a shoe and steps on glass and hurts himself and ends up in the hospital and has a barbecue with his tenants of the building he just bought. So really cool look at both of them. And then like the relationship between him and Kate is super cool. I really liked the moment in this one. So like up to these issues, like Matt Fraction did a good job of like, well, David Aja, and then who did the art get on this one?
Hollingsworth.
Yeah. Or no, he colored. So Polito did this. Hollingsworth too with the colors. The colors are maybe even I like even more than the pencils because of just the palette is nice. It fits the whole vibe. But I enjoyed as much as we've seen them tell us how awesome Kate is and like imply like, no, Kate Bishop is like if you had to pick one, mm-hmm. she's the one you want, you know. But like he you're finally had his guy. I like that. You should there's your tag right there.
Yeah.
He had his moment to like prove like I'm still Hawkeye. Whenever Kate was captured at the end after pretending to be Madame Mask, like the confidence at which he injured and in this bad way on top of this thing that he just had the perfect arrow mm-hmm. and just let go and said boom. Like it's a cool portrayal of that confidence, even though he knows Kate's better than he is. Like he's still not somebody to be glossed over. He's the Avenger, mm-hmm. you know? So I really enjoy this one. I also think this would easily come over to Hawkeye DC or Disney Plus show, rather. I also just had a thought. There are rumors, which are just rumors. There's no confirmation that Vincent D'Onofrio is going to make a cameo in the Disney Plus Hawkeye show.
That would make me weep.
For those that don't know who that is, he played Kingpin in Daredevil, and Kingpin was in the issues that we just saw. So talk about a perfect opportunity for him to kind of be in there trying to buy a tape off the black market that maybe doesn't have the same contents as what they portrayed here, but maybe it's the living will of Tony Stark is on some jump drive or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something that, and it could be nothing. I don't know. I do think they're going to pull a lot from this series because they'd be silly to not with how good it is, but we'll see. That could also just be what it is, a rumor. Mm-hmm. All that being said, we're not going to cover any more right now for Hawkeye because there's several other things we want to jump to, but you absolutely should go and finish this series, like all 20 plus 22 issues, mm-hmm. which sounds like a lot, but it's really not. Like you could cover this in a week for sure. Sitting down and reading for an hour or so a day. They're good. Like the art's cool. The storytelling's really good. I think they're going to pull a lot of stuff from the Disney Plus show into this. It's not going to be verbatim, obviously, because we have single, semi promiscuous Hawkeye here and then Family Guy mm-hmm. or Family Guy, Family Father Guy in the MCU. So they're not going to, I don't think, have him romantically interested in Kate Bishop.
I just thought of another one. MCU's got a family Hawkeye.
Yeah. There's your other one. You should just full time make Marvel spoof jingles.
Yeah.
I will allow you to do that.
Law and Order, MCU. Dun-dun.
I do still want that very badly. It's the fanfic I never knew I needed. Cool. Any other closing thoughts on that one?
Read it.
Yeah, do it. Read it. Get Marvel Unlimited, you cowards. Cool. We're going to jump into some two-man trivia where...
You are... Oh, sorry. I was about to gloat for you. Sorry. Let me rewind so that you can give us a faster...
You're giving me more time. We're jumping into two-man trivia where our trivia questions are faster than an arrow flung through the glass and exploded and saved Kate Bishop.
It was fast.
It was wicked fast.
Only took 5 panels.
Yeah. Yeah. And half of those were just us getting to admire Hawkeye's muscles.
Yeah.
Do you want
to
go first?
So what I was going to say is you currently have 4 points.
Yeah.
I currently have 1 point. And since this is the last one, Alex has to give me the opportunity to win it back. Mm-hmm. So he has a much harder job. My question's very easy. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, because then I'll know if I need to get another one. Which I have more or less ready.
This is from my old standby, CBR.com.
Mm-hmm.
How many times has Hawkeye lost his life to Scarlet Witch? That's the exact words.
Interesting. characters in comic books do be dying and coming back a lot.
Yeah.
To Scarlet Witch.
That's what this says. And I can read the little blurb.
That's fine. I'm just going to guess twice.
Yep. The headline is, loses life twice to Scarlet Witch.
Wow.
I'll read it real quick.
Yeah.
During the time when Scarlet Witch struggled with her own powers and became a contentious character within the Marvel Universe, no hero suffered more than Hawkeye. When one of her incidents caused her to transport a Kree warship to New York, the Avengers spring into action. As Hawkeye's explosive arrows catch fire, he sacrifices himself, flying into the ship's engines and destroying it. Later, during the House of M event, he's resurrected. When he retains his memories, he is horrified and shoots an arrow into Scarlet Witch's back. In retaliation, one of her recreated children wipes him from existence.
Ooh, that's intense.
Like camping in some circuses.
That was quick.
That was for Colby. He always says that. That's intense. Like camping in some circuses.
Well, I have plenty of questions. Mine are going to be just a deep dive into a character. We're going to ask a bunch of questions about Madam Mask.
Okay.
They are.
Has won.
I think you'll at least get some points, though.
Okay.
So here's the whole smorgasbord of things that you're going to be able to do. If you get these all right, might just blow me out of the water. She has.
Currently sitting at 5-1.
One, though. 2, 3, 4, 5 aliases. If you can give me any of those other than Madam Mask. Well, she has 5. Not including Madam Mask. Any of those at all. Also, she has, of those aliases, 3 of them have like noted first appearances as those things. So if you can just give me the title of those first appearances, one of them being like, what was the first series where she was Madam Mask? That's one. You can also tell me what her mask is made out of. And there was another one. Hold on. Where is it?
Fascinating radio.
Oh yeah. You can put in some cool. Oh yeah. This is her first or main listed weakness. Oh, there was one more too. This is a confirmation of a social media she has used in the comics. So you have plenty of options.
Okay, so for the comic book, I'm going to go with the old standby, Tales of Suspense.
That automatically nets you 2 points.
2?
Yeah, because she was introduced as one of the names in Tales of Suspense. And then the very next issue of Tales of Suspense, she was introduced as another alias.
Okay.
So there's 2 points right there.
I have no idea about the aliases. Let me go to, I think.
Remember, there's 3 of those comic books to guess, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to say that her mask is made out of gold.
Also correct. Solid gold.
So
I have a heavy mask.
One more point to tie you.
Yes.
That's.
They get a lot harder now, though.
That's silly. Yeah.
So you have to tell me either. Any of her aliases.
I ain't got none.
One of them I think you've possibly read, which would also kind of give away not the same volume, but a first appearance from a different time. I think maybe you have. I don't know.
I really can't think of any. No clue.
I think when I say one of her, I didn't know all the aliases. I think when I say one of them, though, that you'll be like, oh, I've heard that.
I mean, my only thought for an alias was going to be Madam Hydra.
Nope. But you can keep going. I mean, for like the other parts of the question.
Sue Storm.
No, you can do like other, like the comic book one if you want. Or the social media.
Oh, social
media. Or her
media.
Weakness.
Is her weakness her vanity? And that's why she wears the mask?
That's a good guess, but no. It's actually paranoia. Okay. Extreme paranoia.
I was going to say bullets next.
Yeah. Most people.
For the social media, I don't know if any of these actually exist in there. I was just going to say Twitter.
No, it's LinkedIn.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea.
And then there's
any of the other things.
You don't want to take a swing at a comic book.
Okay. Avengers.
No, it's Iron Man.
That's what I was thinking next. Yeah.
Yeah. You still got right up behind me. Ayo.
Yeah, I found your Amex black card.
Yeah. Oh, I was looking for that. So her aliases, this one sounds very James Bondy. Christine Chrissy Longfellow. Big M. This next one you might have heard. Whitney Frost. She was in one of the more recent Iron... Well, this is like 6 years ago at this point. When they did the All New, All Different. Where she's like the main villain for the first arc of the Iron Man run. And like she's like getting into magic stuff and steals like the Wand of Watoom. And Dr. Doom has to get her and like essentially crucify the magic out of her. And then is a kind of a more recent, bigger story she was in. So, but he has like Whitney Frost and Tony Stark have like a romantic history. Iron Man 17 from 1969 was the first time she was in Madame Mask. And then the Tales of Suspense were number 97 as Big M and number 98 as Whitney Frost. I think that was it. There's a whole bunch of stuff about that character.
Yeah, I knew. I mean, Tales of Suspense is just because everybody made their premiere.
It's a safe one.
And gold, because that's what it looked like to me.
Yeah. I was wondering if that would be like if you think of it as a trick question, to be like, it's actually vibranium.
Yeah, I mean, I did think that, like a vibranium gold alloy or something. So. Yeah.
No, it's just solid gold. She is very scarred under there, so like the vanity was also a good guess. Cool. Well, you didn't get demolished.
No. It's much better than I expected.
Awesome. Any closing thoughts?
No, it's possible. We'll come back. There's the Hawkeye 9, 10, and 11 are a fun little triptych that maybe we will come back to at some point if we ever just need an episode. So if that's something you'd be interested in hearing, reach out to us. Let us know. You could either do that through the Twitter or our LinkedIn. Just kidding. We don't have a LinkedIn. You can find us on Twitter at Two Man Comic Book with the number 2. Instagram, Facebook, Two Man Comic Book Club with the number 2. Jump onto our Discord, link in the show notes, where we like to talk about comics and hot sauce. And that's about it. Comic books and hot sauce. And guitar pedals. So also give us a call if you have something to say about Hawkeye or Madame Mask or LinkedIn. 662-MAN-FAN-8.
Also, I heard, and I haven't researched this yet, I think there's a way that people internationally can leave Apple Podcast reviews that don't show up on the one we have.
Huh.
So if you are a listener and you've left a comment before and you're like, they've never read it, we just didn't know. I'm going to try to figure out how to find that. But if you know immediately, like, yeah, you just go to International Apple Podcast Reviews for twomancomicbookclub.com. let us know what that URL is actually, and we'll go find it and we'll read all our shout outs. You can find me on all social media at Alex Wayne Miller. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E, just like Bruce Wayne, because I am Batman.
Did you end up getting that cookie?
Oh, I didn't. Oh, I did. Bad. You thought I was going to get it, but then your boy Alfred.
Okay. Alfred ate his own cookie?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He's pretty hard.
Bold.
Yeah. Especially in a room full of Bat family. Yeah. Cool. That's been it for us, right?
You can find me.
Oh, I thought you already did yours while I was looking for podcasts. My bad.
You can find me at Drew Morris Comp on Twitter, Drew Morris Composer elsewhere. Buy my album on Bandcamp at drewmorrismusic.bandcamp.com. It's available on tape, which is appropriate because we just read two books about a VHS tape. Mine's not VHS tape. Mine's a cassette tape.
It's available on VHS.
If somebody wants to pay me a lot of money, I'll release it on VHS. I'll make music videos.
Wow.
Probably just me sitting there drinking coffee.
I don't know where to get a VCR.
In my linen closet.
Wow, you still have one?
Oh, yeah, I do.
It's vintage.
Yeah, because I have the VHS copy of the original Star Wars trilogy, and also the original Star Trek.
Wow.
Collection.
Wonder how much those are worth.
I don't know. I will never sell them.
Never. All right. That's been it. We'll see y'all next time on another episode of Two Man Comic Book Club. Until then, bye.
Boom.
The Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our guy in the chair is Torrance Watkins. Logos and design work are by Tessa Price. Original theme music and compositions are by Drew Morris. Oat milk is the superior of alternative milks.
True.
Almond milk is for the birds.
True. It's bad for the environment, too. Could you hear that when I smiled? Did the microphone pick up my ears doing this?
I don't think so.
It's like, you
should get that checked out.
I can't stop hearing it now.
All right, doing the intro.